And now coming to you nearly live from the center of the seventh largest economy in the world, at the intersection of all major highways and next to the largest waterway in the state, it's the NorCal Cruisecast with yours truly, Sam Toll and Pete Coffey. Pete, how are you today?
Well, flat out, it's warm here in Northern California. But we're kicking back here in the California Auto Museum. We got a few coolers going here, and so it's real nice sitting around here with all these nice cars.
Yeah, the first of the 100-degree days is upon us, and it's warm everywhere. Walking into the museum today, I noticed that a lot of those big-finned automobiles were on their way out.
I know. They're heading down the ramp with a tear in their eye. It was a great show that they had here. And boy, that was an era of class and style, absolutely. So hate to see those go, but they'll be replaced by the Mustangs and Camaros. And, you know, the Mustangs and Camaros, I think, were partially responsible for our decline in population explosion. Because, you know, at the drive-in, those back seats are pretty doggone small in those Camaros and Mustangs. So
that's right. They did sort of make an impact because, you know, you get in the back of one of those big Cadillacs and there's room to stretch out.
Indeed.
So, if anybody hears any background noise today, those cars are actually backing out and moving out as we speak and sit here, and a couple of them have made their way out while we're talking. So if you do hear something in the background, why, it's probably one of them 1958 Edsels or that big 1957 Cadillac Eldorado making its way back out on the highway, making room for those Mustangs and Camaros.
Or a big Hemi rolling out too. There's a couple of those.
That's right. No, again, it's just a lot of fun to come in here, see something new every day. The museum has just a ton to offer the car enthusiast. So, Pete, it was a busy, busy weekend for me. I know you went up to Portola this weekend, and we got a lot to talk about later on the show. Mark Woodward will be with us talking about three new cars. But before all of that, we're going to do the calendar of events. And just as a reminder, if your community or car club has an event that you'd like listed in our calendar, and on our website, or if you're hosting an event and would like us to read it on the air, send the information to event@norcalcruisecast.com, and we'd be delighted to put it in the mix. We do have access to a number of different resources that gives us the car shows, and we have an extensive database that we're starting to get really streamlined and get ready to put on the website and put in different places on the internet like Pinterest and tweet things out and as well as on our Facebook page. But if you've got something going on, we'd like to know about it. So again, event@norcalcruisecast.com.
Yeah, if you know about it, we want everyone to know about it. So use our venue here. Feel free. Give us the info and we will blast it out.
And you know what? It's the best price of all. The price is right. It's free, free, free.
You betcha. Can't be any better.
That's right. So yeah, we'd love to let the public know about it. So we'd like to kick off the event calendar with one of our favorite shows. That would be the
Auburn Cruise Night.
Yeah, I'm stumbling here because I'm looking at my computer screen and not reading my calendar. Pete, thank you very much. Friday, June 12th. Auburn Cruise Night, downtown Auburn, starts at 5 p.m. 72 and older vehicles. For more information, 916-416-6742. Get there before 5 if you want to get your car in and leave your dog at home.
And, yeah, that's true. And you can rest assured Sam will be there with his Fidel Castro hat and GoPro.
That's
taking
right.
pictures of those cars.
That's right.
Okay, on June 27th, Saturday in West Sacramento, it's the Bergeman Capital City River City Classic at the Riverwalk Park from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Entry fee is $30. For info, it's 916-549-0851. And while down there, you just might want to talk to one of the world's best painters, Don Honstein. He's the ex-host of Cruisin' Talk with John Sweeney, myself, and Sam, our happy little group. Don has won many awards for his flame jobs, his paint jobs. He's still in business and doing fantastic work. So So if you do go to that show, ask for Don, and he will give you some pointers and show you some really nice paintwork.
I didn't realize Don was still painting for a living. Do you know the name of his company? I don't remember it.
I think it's just Honstein's. Not really sure, but I know he changed shops about 2 years ago when his brother passed away, and I think he is in that smaller, downsized shop.
Gotcha. Well, you are right. Don is an award-winning painter, and his stuff is just spectacular. Also on June 27th, that's the Saturday, in Rancho Cordova, Mopar Day in the Park 22, presented by Capital City Mopar at the Hagen Community Park. Gates open at 8 a.m. It's a judged car show. There will be a swap meet and a car corral. The entry fee for the cars is $30. Swap meet space is $30. And the car corrals are $20. If you'd like more information, 916-849-7582.
And staying on June 27th, Saturday, in Angels Camp, the 8th Annual Classic Car Show at Utica Park, 1000 South Main Street. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee at the gate is $25. If you'd like info, talk to Terry at 209-728-9971.
Angels Camp up there in the Big Trees. Really nice and cool up there. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Might be a good place to be.
So then moving to the Flatlands again on Saturday, the 28th of June, at Lodi, at Picnic in the Park at Mickey Grove Park, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry gate is $30, plus the park fee is $6. Information 209-957-6292.
And same weekend in Marysville, Classic Car and Bike Show at the historic downtown Marysville D Street, the great cruise down there that used to be, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee is $20. For info, it's John at 916-698-7637.
In South Lake Tahoe, Street Rods on the River at Paradise Park. Starts at 8 a.m., goes till 3:30. Entry fee is $45. For more information, 775-742-8612.
And staying with June 28th in Modesto. Ooh, I just blew that one.
That's all right. We'll hit the reset
button, Pete.
We'll
roll with that one. The 8th Annual Rod and Custom Car Show, Modesto Elks Lodge, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee at the gate is $30. For info, it's 209-524-4421. And my gracious apologies for stepping on you, Sam.
Well, you know, Pete, we could edit that out, but it's more fun to just let her roll. In South Lake Tahoe, the weekend, the 4th of July weekend there, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Rolling Chrome Tahoe Thunder Car, the truck and motorcycle show at the Heavenly Village Shopping Center. $40 to get in. Information 530-541-7300.
And on Saturday, the 4th of July, in Clear Lake, it's the 15th Annual Show and Shine presented by Lakeshore Lions Club at Austin Park. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Entry fee is $20. For info, talk to Rex at 707-994-2218.
In Olympic Village, Village at Squaw Valley Car Show, 1960 Squaw Valley Road, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., 72 and vehicles and older. No entry fee. That means it's free, my kind of price. For more information, 775-750-7726.
And also 4th of July in Plymouth. Or would that be Plymouth? Now, the Cruise Inn, I like the way they got this. It is spelled CRU/ZIN, as in wine, wink, wink. It's Cruise Inn in the Vineyard at 20680 Shenandoah School Road. It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The entry fee is $25. For info, and don't whine about it, it's 209-245-6942.
Bring your designated driver on that one and have some fun there in the Vineyard. Moving down to Stockton, it's a car show at 703 East Swain Road, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The entry fee is $15. More information, 209-603-2511.
And staying with Independence Day in Stockton, it's a car show at 703 East Swain Road, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee at the gate is $15. For info, talk to Randy at 209-603-2511.
Staying in the Valley, same day, 4th of July, that's Lodi. We're back at Salisbury's Car Show, 1123 East Vine Street, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Entry fees $25. For more information, 209-931-4553.
And going with the assumption that you did survive the 4th of July, it's now July 10th, Friday in Auburn. Another cruise night. Sam will be there with his GoPro. Downtown Auburn starts at 5 o'clock, 72 and older vehicles. For info, 916-416-6742.
And leave your dog at home.
Leave your dog at home.
I say that because they really don't like dogs there. The dogs do routinely create problems. And, of course, people routinely bring their dogs there. So it's kind of a little, quote, pet peeve, unquote.
Well, there have been issues, legal issues, especially in our litigious state of California, regarding dogs biting people. And some of the car shows have been canceled because of legal issues, and that being one of them. So in order to keep this good thing going that we have with the car shows, yeah, please leave your best friends or doggies at home or with somebody to attend a car show. You can have a great time. The dog will probably have a whole lot better time wherever you have him and not out with a bunch of people stepping on their little paws.
Yeah, you know, it is true. You know, that show is packed, and with the more people you get, the more nervous dogs kind of tend to become. You know, the dogs are friendly, dogs are fun, dogs are your best friend, but it's best to to save everybody the hassle and the potential lawsuit. So enough said. Moving on there, Saturday, July 11th at Modesto, the Old Fisherman's Club 3rd Annual Car Show on the River, 10800 Mays Boulevard, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. $40 to get in. More information, 209-993-6929.
And also July 11th in Yuba City, it's Cruise for a Cause at Butchie's Pool at 144 Gibson Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I'm thinking on July 11th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you're going to want to get in that pool. The entry fee is $12. For info, it's 530-671-4373.
And in Live Oak, car show at downtown Live Oak on Broadway, 6 to 8 p.m. That's an evening show. Entry fees $20. For more information, 530-695-8020.
And again on July 11th in Durham. Is that a chew? I think it is, you know? Isn't that a Bull Durham or something?
Bull Durham, yeah, that's right. Just a pinch,
too, huh?
Just a pinch in between your chink and gums.
There you go. Anyway, in Durham, it's the 21st Annual Cruisin' Classic Car and Motorcycle Show in Durham Park, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., presented by the Chico Drifters Car Club. Entry fee at the gate is $25. For info, talk to Bob, and you know that's spelled both directions and says the same thing.
A palindrome.
I just thought I'd point that out. 530-624-5310.
In Santa Margarita, it's the FAST Santa Margarita Ranch Time Trials. Gates open at 8 a.m. Costs $40 to get in. Spectators are $5. For more information down south, it's 805-544-8856.
And on July 12th, Sunday, get out of prison and go to a Tascadero. No. 22nd Annual All Ford Picnic and Car Show, presented by the Early Ford V8 Club of Atascadero at Atascadero Lake, if they haven't used that word enough here. And the entry fee is a donation of $15. For info, talk to Dennis at 805-227-6930.
Is there a penal colony in Atascadero, Pete?
I believe there is. There's something out there.
Well, I'll try and steer clear of that place anyway. And finally, wrapping up the calendar of events today, we're in Stockton for Swap Meet and Car Show at the San Joaquin's Fairgrounds. Starts, of course, at early dark 30 at 6 a.m. to these folks. Goes till 3 p.m. Car show's $15. Swap Meet spaces at the gate, $25. And, of course, admission is only $7. For more information, contact 209-948-5307. A lot of stuff going on out there. Drive safe, but drive to one of these shows. Get out there, circulate, have some fun, and get your kids out there if you got them. It's going to be a nice, great opportunity to have some fun. These car shows are a kick in the pants. A
lot going on in Northern California, and that's one of the reasons why we live in this great end of the state up here. Lots of fun stuff happening. So like Sam says, do attend some of these shows, bring the kids, have a great time, and relive a little memories and shows the kids some history.
Okay, speaking of history, we're going to step back in time for a little spot from one of our sponsors. After that, we're going to hear from Mark Woodward of the California Auto Museum Car Sales. So be right back.
Radio. Remember those good old days when horseless carriages roared down bumpy streets at the furious speed of 25 miles per hour? Automobiles have changed a lot since then, and so have their requirements for gasoline and lubrication. In fact, outstanding authorities, including the United States Army and Navy, agree today's high-speed, precision-engineered motors need better lubrication than straight motor oil alone could ever provide. That's why Signal now brings you an amazing new type lubricant, Signal Premium Motor Oil, combining finest 100% pure paraffin base with five scientific new compounds, each developed to do a job which straight oil alone can't do. The result? Exhaustive tests prove new Signal Premium Motor Oil actually keeps motors six times cleaner and reduces cylinder wear one-third. Yes, the oil you use can make a big difference in the way your motor runs when it's Signal Premium Motor Oil. So, go modern. Join the thousands who are switching from old-fashioned straight oil to Signal's new lubricant that guarantees you a sweeter running motor. New Signal Premium Motor Oil.
And now we're back from that, with those words from our sponsor, with Mark Woodward from the California Auto Museum Car Sales. Mark, what do you got in the inventory list for us today?
I've always got something different. I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit. This car was actually donated to the museum. It's a 1987 Cadillac DeVille sedan. So it's a four-door. It's actually in pretty darn nice condition. The gentleman who owned it since new, decided to donate it to the museum. The interior's in just absolute perfect shape. We've got a price tag of $2,200 for it. And if somebody's looking for just a good car, maybe someone's kid's about to get their license or something, be perfect driver for them.
So that's an 87, you said?
87,
so
yes.
That's a four-door. It's a big land yacht. Perhaps not the best on fuel, but lots of leg room.
Yes, more comfortable than your couch.
Perfect. Wow, that sounds like fun.
Next up, I've got a 1963 Chevrolet Impala station wagon. The car is absolutely beautiful, 100% restored. Everything on it is NOS or refinished. If you have a chance, definitely go and take a look at our website. The pictures of it, it's just beautiful. It's an excellent, excellent station wagon. Price on that one, asking price is $28,950.
So that's the better part of a $29,000 bill.
Correct.
So that's a 63. That Impala is a fabulous station wagon. I know that one of my earliest memories is in something not as nearly as fun, but a Dodge Dart station wagon. drive-in movies were a lot of fun. Those station wagons are great memory builders.
I absolutely love station wagons. Every time I get one in, I'm just super excited. So I'm really glad to have this one here at the museum.
And you don't see a lot of Impala station wagons, right? Those are pretty rare.
Yeah, they are. Like I keep saying, the trim on it is just amazing. It's just a beautiful car.
Super.
Last up today, I've got a 64 Ranchero. And this car is actually also in really nice shape. The transmission's been swapped over from a two-speed to a three-speed, so it makes it a little bit nicer to drive it around. Asking price on that one is $13,750.
So that's a one of those cruise around pickup trucks that's not really a pickup truck, but it's more like a hot rod race mobile.
Exactly.
Fun.
Yes.
So once again, you've got the Cadillac, you've got the Impala, and you've got the Ranchero.
Yep.
Fun.
Plenty of other ones also for sale, as usual. Take a look at our website, www.camcarsales.com, or give me a call.
What's your phone number, Mark?
Where phone number is 916-806-8068.
Super. And last week we talked about that Volkswagen Westie. Is that thing still in the building or is it gone yet?
It is still in the building. We're actually on the tail end of the eBay auction. I've got a gentleman coming by later today to take it for a test drive. So I don't really expect that one to stick around too much longer.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, that thing will go very quickly. That's a fabulous, it's just spectacular inside and out. It's it was owned, as you said, by a wood shop teacher, and so the interior is just totally custom.
Yes, yeah, he completely did the interior himself, and it really shows. He never had any intentions of selling it, but things happened, and now it's for sale, and yeah, it's really, really nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's two things that'll be good about that. One, someone is gonna you know, stumble into a really spectacular bus, and the other, of course, is that the museum will benefit. You know, a little bit of that money is gonna stay here to help the museum pay some of the bills and keep this lovely, wonderful place open. So, yeah, two great tastes that taste great together. Well, Mark, thank you very much. I look forward to having you here next week. And until then, keep selling those cars.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. And now another word from our sponsor.
Presented by the Ford Motor Company, builder of Ford cars, Ford trucks and farm tractors, Lincoln and Mercury cars, including the new 1949 Lincoln Cosmopolitan, America's most distinctive fine car, unrivaled for superb performance and luxurious appointments.
A couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Rick Gargiulo from the Highland Hot Rod Club in El Dorado Hills, and this interview is pretty interesting. I hope you enjoy it. It's separated into two parts. Did about 15 minutes on this segment, and we'll run the rest of the interview next week. So sit back, listen, and enjoy. There's some pretty interesting stuff in here. Okay, hey, it's Sam Toll here, and I've had a really excellent opportunity to come up and interview Rick Gargiulo. I hope I said that right. Gargiulo, yeah. Rick has just started a car club in El Dorado Hills called the Highland View Hot Rods. Rick came out to the Northern California GTO Club meeting that we had earlier in the month, and he had some really fantastic stories to tell us about his experience as a kid growing up in Brooklyn, New York, with one of the premier, I guess, in the nation, guys who was into Pontiacs and getting things done. Rick, thanks for taking some time with me today to talk to the audience of the NorCal CruiseCast.
Thank you, Sam.
So you had mentioned to the club that you were a kid in Brooklyn, New York, working on a car that you just bought. Tell us a little bit about your getting started in the car bit scene.
Yeah, it was funny how we got started. When I say we, my brother and I always worked together on our projects. Grew up as a middle child, unfortunately, but my dad was a cop. My mom was an artist, so I had quite a unique family experience quite a bit of discipline and creativity combined, I guess you can say, from both parents. But since I was a skinny, wiry kid, I was always the one my dad kicked under the car to change his oil. I guess that was my first experience with turning bolts.
Far out. So what was your first car?
Well, the first car my brother and I had was a Pontiac Le Mans. I believe it was 73 Le Mans. We bought it because we got it cheap. It had a worn-out cam lobe that we knew we can fix because of all of our experience working on mini bikes and motorcycles as kids. I remember the quote of the owner of that car before we bought it. He said he never changed the oil. He only added oil when it started making noise. So sooner or later, we were able to, as soon as we got the car, we pulled it all apart and realized that overhead or non-overhead camshaft engines had the lifters which would fall into the oil pan if you slid the cam out without taking the lifters out first. So,
and you experienced that firsthand, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was our only mode of transportation at the time. We had a tiny garage full of bicycles, no place to work on it. And if I recall correctly, it was in December because once the lifters fell into the oil pan and we needed to take the oil pan off the car the next day, we woke up with a foot of snow on the ground. It's a little different today working in a shop with the heater on, but it was fun nonetheless once we finally got the car running, and that was something to remember for sure.
So you had mentioned to the guys at the GTO club meeting that you had an early on experience with one of the pioneers in Pontiac Power. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I guess it all started, I graduated high school early, 17 years old, and after 1 year or one semester of college, I dropped out to my father's dismay, and spent the $2,500 I had in the bank for college on a 72 455 HO Trans Am.
Sounds like a perfectly intelligent decision to me.
Well, I was a teenager, and I knew it all at that point. During the time that I was hot rodding this car, we got to know Nunzi of Nunzi Automotive in Brooklyn, where we lived, and bought a few parts, some camshafts from him and the like. And I needed a job when I got dropped out of college, so he hired me, and I basically worked as his understudy, as a machinist and a mechanic, learning all the different aspects of building a hot rod, and from cylinder head work, engine assembly, transmissions, differentials, exhaust system, tuning, you name it. Nunzi was one of the best. You can read about him in a lot of the magazines from the 70s and 80s. And after a year or so, I realized I need to go back to college, but I spent my college fund on my Trans Am, so I applied the knowledge I learned to starting a career in street racing back in the day.
A career in street racing. That sounds like it's got a, you certainly can go to work every day, but making a paycheck may not or necessarily be something you're guaranteed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, exactly. We raced on the weekends and wrenched during the week. And even though it was only 1980-81 era, we were racing on the street for as much as $1,000 per run. So we made some good money on the weekends. Half of it went back into the car, but I earned a reputation for knowing how to hot rod cars, especially Pontiacs, and I had all the guys in the neighborhood wanting me to work on their cars, so that helped as well. I guess that was my first business.
Far out. So basically, you were literally racing on the streets of New York City. Is that a true story?
Right. Unlike some of these so-called reality shows you see on TV, and sure, they're fun to watch, but this was the real deal. We had at one point closed down the Staten Island Expressway in New York at 2 o'clock in the morning to race a big block Nova race car, which the guy actually trailered in, and that was one place in New York we raced. There were three or four really really cool places to race cars in New York back in the day, and you wouldn't believe the hundreds of people that would line the streets and bet on one car or another. It was really cool time.
Well, you know, I hearken back to some of the old time radio shows that I listened to and some of the newscasts, and horse racing obviously was a heck of a popular pastime on the East Coast and certainly in New York. Racing these modern metal horses must have been equally as exciting and obviously got a big crowd as well. That sounds fantastic. You'd mentioned that the guy with the Nova actually brought his car in on a trailer to race on the freeway. That sounds pretty ballsy, but what happened in that race?
Oh, it was funny. I remember like it was yesterday driving over the Verrazano Bridge, going to the race nervous because we knew this car was fast. We should go watch these cars race, and I actually carried a stopwatch with me to try to estimate how fast they were, and obviously the faster cars would race for some more bigger dollar amounts. And what we did before we raced this car was running high 11s, which was about what my car was running, and remember, this is a street-driven car.
Wow.
We decided we had to soup it up a little more, and we actually put nitrous oxide system on the car, built it into the manifold between the manifold and the valley pan. Probably one of the first to ever do such a thing. I know nitrous is popular now, but it was something new when it just came out in 1980, I believe the year was.
Wow.
But driving across the Verrazano Bridge with a couple of guys in the car and the music blast, and if you guys remember the Police, the song "Message in a Bottle,"
oh, yeah.
Was playing, and we adjusted the lyrics. We started singing "Nitrous in the Bottle." So every time I hear that song, I think of that. But needless to say, we won that race and collected our money to the dismay of the big block Chevy, who probably to this day couldn't believe he was beaten by what we told him was a 350 Pontiac motor in my 72 Trans Am.
Yeah, I would imagine that he probably, after seeing your taillights crossing the finish line, he probably suspected there was something a little more in there. So that's kind of the definition of stealth, right? I mean, you know, the nitrous systems certainly weren't prevalent at all, and to watch you take off must have been a lot of fun for you, and even better when you look back and took that pile of money.
Absolutely, and you know, the car had an automatic in it. We popped the hood and let him look at it, and even though it was a really cool 72 455 HO Trans Am, the Chevy guys and the Mopar guys always kind of poo-pooed the Pontiacs because they didn't make at least as much of a big deal out of them in the NHRA race scene. So they were actually, I would say, considered underdogs. So yeah, it was probably a sleeper for the day.
So let me ask you a question that just struck me. You said that you're getting piles of cash, $1,000. Did you I mean, you came up with $500 of your own dollars? You put down $1,000 of your own dollars? Was it a pool thing? How did that work?
Yeah, we pooled it. Yeah, no, I didn't. No way did I have $1,000 to spend. So all my buddies who knew how fast my car was and knew what we were doing were happy to chip in, whether it be $20 or $100 each. I think all I had was $100 to come up with, but it was still back in during those days. That was a lot of money for me.
Well, yeah, the early '80s, man, $1,000 was a pile of cash. So did you, like, did everybody get the cash? He put his $1,000 or $500, let's say, and you put
right.
your $500. And
yeah, we basically doubled everyone doubled their money. But the funny thing is the guy at the end of the quarter mile, my buddy who was holding the cash
right.
with one of the competitors' teammates. The competitor's teammate was smiling as the cars are coming down. Again, this is in the dark with my headlights in front of the Nova. He stuck his hand out as though he knew they were going to win. And unfortunately, we're the guys who took home the cash that night.
He ate a little of that humble pie. Well, that's really amazing. I mean, you know, the story you tell, creating a vision of racing on a freeway, closing a freeway down, to have a bunch of guys, you know, line the sides of it. Again, you do see these reality shows where, you know, Pinks shows up and they talk about, you know, obviously they're on a racetrack, but guys swapping Pinks. I mean, it's you can tell there's a little bit of Hollywood staged happening there, but being able to do that as the real deal, that must have been just a kick in the pants.
Yeah, it wasn't. Unfortunately, iPhones were not out at that time, or I'm sure we'd have a really cool video to watch, but it was a memorable night for sure.
And so people, I mean, literally would just show up at kind of everybody knew in the neighborhood, and they just kind of just show up. You get a couple hundred people there. I mean, it just brings a vision that of a time and a place that obviously just it doesn't exist today. And so that's really fantastic.
Yeah, there from what I recall, there were three main places where we used to race. One was in Starrett City out in the desolate area in Brooklyn, where there was actually a garbage dump. So there was nice, straight, paved, smooth highway, no stop signs. But still, this is New York City. So lots of people around, and literally hundreds, if not thousands of people would line the entire quarter mile. And yes, it was dangerous. And yes, the cops showed up and started writing out tickets, but there's so many cars. Luckily, I never got one.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. So tell me a little bit more about Nunzi. I mean, he obviously was a guy who had a... there's the phone. So he was a guy who had the... the sort of the go-to shop and the go-to knowledge for Pontiac Power in the you know, back in the day, so to speak. What was it like to work for a guy like that?
Well, he was quite the character. You know, he's born in Italy and had the very heavy Italian accent. So he was quite a perfectionist. Knew he was the man. So he was a bit cocky, and he would talk on the phone most of the day while I would do all the work, and a lot of it was for part selection. But I remember one phone call he got. And all I heard his side of the phone call. All I heard was, "What do you want me to do? Change your oil? What do you think I am, a greaser monkey or something?" And he hung up the phone, and I just had a laugh under my breath. But he did not want to be known as a mechanic. He wanted to be known as the Pontiac guru, who you know, at that point he had the fastest normally aspirated Pontiac in the world. It was a 67 Firebird running low tens.
Wow. So basically, in a day before Craigslist and eBay and pretty much all of the things that we take for granted today, he was a guy whose reputation allowed him to make a nice, healthy business for all the Pontiac freaks across the country. Did he ever put like ads in the newspaper, or I'm sorry, in like Hot Rod or any of the magazine publications, or was it just strictly word of mouth?
Yeah, he did. Write a column with a ghostwriter. You know, the technical expertise came from him, and he wrote in, I forget which magazine, but one of the magazines at one point, he was the technical expert for Pontiacs, at least. But and then he had a parts catalog, it was mail order catalog. He would sell pretty much factory parts, OEM parts, because at that time, and again, this is 40 years ago, there were no aftermarket Edelbrock aluminum heads, for example. You couldn't call up a local or
place like Summit, maybe, or Jags, or any place like that.
Right. So a lot of what he did, he'd race the car on the weekends. People would see, at least the guys at the track knew he was the guy with the fastest Pontiacs, and word spread. But as far as how he made his money was working on cars locally and then selling parts. Again, no internet back at that point, but he would actually just sell parts from a parts catalog, a mail order parts catalog that we used to send out, you know, 10 or so catalogs per day.
Wow, far out. And this, of course, is in downtown Brooklyn, right? Or, you know, what I envision. I've been to Brooklyn once, I think. You know, I've been to Manhattan a bunch, and I just cannot visualize anything that would resemble a garage or any kind of place to work on a car. But in Brooklyn, there's less competition for the space, and so you've got a little more areas to work on, and like you say, it's more of an industrial area. But that must have been kind of, you know, I mean, you know, really, really interesting to work for that guy.
Yeah, it was. It was challenging. I loved what I do, and I loved what I did as far as the mechanical work and what I learned. He was challenging to work for, but for good reason, because he was a perfectionist and he knew his craft really well. And boy, it was fun to apply that to my own car and develop my own reputation for building hot rods, which luckily I remember most of what I learned, and I'm back doing it again today.
I'd like to thank Rick Gargiulo from the Highland Hot Rod Club for that interview. We'll play the rest of it next week, and now another word from our sponsors.
Wouldn't you like to receive absolutely free a brand new Chevrolet 6, any model you want? All right, listen to this. Starting tomorrow is a feature of National Drive a Chevrolet Month. One of those big, fine-looking Chevrolet 6s will be given away every day, absolutely free. 30 days, 30 cars, one car awarded every day. All you have to do is to visit any Chevrolet dealer, drive or ride in a Chevrolet car, then down on the entry blank, which the dealer will furnish, the reason why you like the new Chevrolet 6. Remember, in order to enter the contest, you must visit a Chevrolet dealer, get a demonstration, and obtain an entry blank from him. It doesn't matter how many or how few words you use or what kind of writer you are. The best reasons for liking the new Chevrolet, the best in the opinions of the judges, win the free Chevrolet cars. This opportunity is to any person in the United States over 18 years of age, and one day makes you eligible for any of the cars given away from the day you enter throughout the balance of the month. So plan now to go to your Chevrolet dealer tomorrow and enter this contest. Your name may be announced over the radio next Friday night as one of the winners of a new Chevrolet 6.
Okay, we're back. We want to thank Mark Woodward for sharing those cars with us. There's a lot of neat stuff going on here at the museum, as always. Car sales is one of those things. If you do happen to make it down here to 2200 Front Street here in Sacramento, you'll get to see, I don't know, what do you think, Pete? Is there 20 cars back in the car corral back
in
there?
I'd say about that, yeah, and a wide variety of different things, too.
Yeah, there's really just a nice span of cars, just like the other displays and stuff here. Just a nice variety. You know, you got the DeSoto, you got the Volkswagen, you got the Cadillac, you got the Corvette. Just a lot of neat cars back in there.
I still like that Zebra bus pickup. That is so cool.
That Safari bus is unique. It's different. And of course, it's a split window bus, 58. So you can really, it's hard to go wrong with that. So, yeah, in the background, I see we determined that's a pre-war Lincoln Zephyr. Is that right?
They said it was a 42, so that's...
42, that's a rare
very
car.
End of production, yeah. Ready for the war there.
Yeah, beautiful Lincoln four-door, looks like darn near a limousine-ish kind of car with so much room in the back. Got the Deco dashboard. It's really just spectacular car. It's, of course, one of the wonderful things about coming here to the California Auto Museum. There's just a spectacular car at every step of the way, from the very beginning of automotive transportation all the way through to today's supercars. So, Pete, it was a busy weekend for me this weekend. I went to a car show. I went to Loomis. I told everybody I was going to the Loomis car show. Well, it wasn't really a car show. There were actually no cars there, although it was a fun little Loomis family event. I was kind of expecting to see some cars there as there were in years past. No cars there, but I did go up to the Newcastle car show that they put on the first Thursday of every month at Denny's. Got there just as it was closing down. Got to talk to some of the folks as things were wrapping up. There were about 55, 60 cars there, according to what I heard. I only saw about 20 by the time I got there at sundown. But that was fun. And then the next Friday, I went to an event in Roseville, and I happened to run into a car show I'd never heard of before, which doesn't surprise me because they're everywhere. We're trying to find out about lots and all of them, and by golly, there's tons of them in our backyards that we just, you know, never knew existed. Apparently, the Sacramento Muscle Car Group puts on one once a month at the Fountains there by the Galleria. There were, I'm going to say there are probably 25 cars there. Some nice lowriders, some great muscle cars. There's a beautiful Pontiac. What the heck was it? It wasn't a Firebird. I mean, I guess it was a Firebird. But it's a beautiful Pontiac. There's a beautiful Chevrolet C10. There was also a Suburban there, a Chevy Suburban mid-60s that was pinstriped and just absolutely beautiful. A couple rat rods. So it was a really nice little small little car show there. And then didn't make it to Thunder Valley. I had some issues with my car heading home or heading out there. So I decided that I would go ahead and forego that, but I did have a lot of fun there the next day at the Lincoln Car Show. I'm telling you, that was just absolutely spectacular.
That is touted as being a phenomenal show out there. My next door neighbor goes to that consistently, and he always comes back really happy and seeing a lot of stuff out there.
You know, I was astonished because, you know, I think the GTO Club, we went there, I think, for the first time in, I don't know, I'm going to say it was 6 years ago. And, you know, there were probably 75, 80 cars there, maybe 100. There were, I would say there were 450 pushing, there weren't quite 500 cars there, but there were just a ton of cars. They were beautiful, beautiful hot rods. There were muscle cars. There were rat rods. There were pickup trucks. There were Corvettes. There was just a huge selection of cars. There was a Hudson, a chopped, slammed Hudson 47 pickup truck. It was not a pickup. It was a coupe, like John Sweeney had that pickup truck. There was a Nova that was blown and just ferociously bad. There was a Mustang that was blown that was just ridiculously cool. There was a couple of DeSotos, a couple of Packards, just a wide variety of cars, just every imaginable piece of Americana history. Quite a few GTOs there. As a GTO guy, I took a few pictures of the GTOs, Chevelles, Camaros. I mean, it was just, it was spectacular. It, tons of people, and the, it was really not that hot. Certainly not as hot as it was today. Had a really good time, and I did walk the entire show. I'm almost finished putting that video together. You'll see it on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/NorCalCruiseCast. I'm also developing a YouTube channel, which I should be able to announce next week, and I'll put all my videos up there. Again, as Pete mentioned, I try and walk the shows that I go to with my GoPro. I'm trying to figure out a way to take the, I think the Lincoln show took me 35 minutes to walk, so I'd like to figure out a way to compress that so that you can get the full 35 minutes if you have some time to kill, or do a little Benny Hill kind of fast motion speed up and then slow down at the cars that catch my eye, where I do a walkthrough and stick the GoPro inside the car if the window's down, and kind of give everybody a real feel for the different and unique car that I stumble across.
And there's quite a few out there that Sam captures, so you know, if you can't make it to one of these events, do watch our site, and you can get a good idea what was at the show, because Sam does a really great expose on, especially on the special cars out there.
A lot of fun. So, Pete, what did you do this weekend?
I had fun, actually. I attended the spring meet of the Kaiser Fraser Club. This year we met up in Portola. And, you know, that's where a big train museum is up there. And this museum is really different in that you're not restricted to just walking up and standing behind a rope to see these trains. You can actually climb on, over, through everything. A lot of the trains that they have on display out there, some are under restoration. Some are completely restored. My wife and I also rode in the train. Heck, it was only $2 per person to take a train ride. And we climbed up to the top of the caboose, the cupola that they call it, and got to roll down the tracks and had a really good view from up there. We were the only two in the caboose, so that was a lot of fun. And you can also actually drive a train there. You pay a fee. They give you a quick training little process there, and you sign a huge release, and you actually drive a freight train. It is just too cool. So the club met up there in Portola, and then we went down to Blairston, had dinner, and then went down to the town of Quincy and saw some museums down there. And then all of us drove down the Feather River Canyon in the old Kaisers. And, you know, that's worthy of note, too. If you do join one of these car clubs, whatever the make or mark of the type of vehicle, you can participate in these weekend gatherings that the clubs put on, or whenever they put them together. You meet some really, really great people, and you see some places that you've never seen before. You take the time and get out. And even if it's in the local area, it's like living next door to Disneyland. Sometimes you just never go. But if somebody gets it together, promotes it, and the whole group gathers, then you can see all these really neat venues. So, you know, if you do get into the car club hobby, you buy a car, you can cruise around and do some wonderful things with the kids. It's great entertainment.
You know, you mentioned two things that are really fun. The idea of a living museum where you can actually, you know, participate in the displays. You can actually touch and feel those, you know, and get intimate with the whatever it is you're seeing. It's a lot of fun, and it makes the museum going experience a lot more rich and rewarding. I know that there's a lot of frothers out there. Or no, they call them foamers, right? Foamers.
Foamers?
Train guys.
Oh, yeah.
Train freaks are called, as I've heard them referred to, foamers, because they foam at the mouth whenever a train goes by. But there's really no better way to get acquainted with what it is that you're there looking at than to actually be able to put some hands on it and have some fun. I've never been to, I didn't realize there was a real nice museum up there in Portola, but, you know, just visualizing me being behind the wheel, I guess it's not really a wheel, it's more like a lever of the train and driving it, man, that's just got to be an absolute blast.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if the kids have read Casey Jones, they can get right up there in that engine and play Casey Jones. It is so cool.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then, speaking to your last point, you know, a lot of the clubs do organize drives. Euro Sunday has a drive that they take the exotics out and cruise around. I know that our GTO club has a drive of the River Valley that we're going to have on on June 28th, I believe. Check out our website and our Facebook page, NorCalGTOClub.com. But, you know, there's really, like you say, it's even if it's in your backyard, you get a chance to go explore some places that you just don't go to every day. You may drive by it or think that, you know, just know that it's right around the corner, but you don't get to slow down, smell some of those roses, you know, and get to see some of those sights. And there's really nothing funner than to get in a caravan full of old cars and you know, get that smell of octane in the morning or in the afternoon or early evening and have some fun. It sounds like that trip down the Feather River was a lot of fun, Pete.
That's a beautiful drive. And there again, I got to speak very highly of the Kaiser Fraser Club, the local chapter, the El Dorado region. Really, really great people. We've been members for about 14 years. And even though we don't currently own a Kaiser, we're still searching to get another one. Really, really great time. So if you know anybody who wants to learn a lot about Kaiser Frasers, maybe hang around the club, you don't need a car to come on some of our excursions, feel free to give me a call. My cell is 530-913-3595, and I can introduce you to some members of the club, and heck, come on out and have fun with us.
And if someone's got an old Volkswagen for sale, they can use that cell phone number to get a hold of you as well, right, Pete?
Oh yeah, boy, and that'll probably get the fastest response when you when you say that.
Right on. So yeah, so like Pete says, you know, you get a chance, get out there. Now, Pete, you didn't take your Kaiser or your Studi out?
No, didn't take that out. We weren't able to get up there Friday. We had to zip up there real quick Saturday morning because of my wife's work schedule. Yeah, we just took her little Mustang convertible, put the top down, and whoop, over the hill we went.
So. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So this weekend coming up, I am going to go to the Roseville Tuesday night show. I'll go back to the Loomis show just because it's in my backyard to see what's shaking over there. And then, of course, I'll be in Auburn Friday night on the 12th of June with my GoPro, bumping into people, moving around, zooming around. There are usually a couple thousand people that go to that show, so there'll be no shortage of live bodies. Last time I was there in May, I went by the Gearhead Garage booth, and they had some really spectacular Camaros there. I think they might bring their million-dollar baby car that's got easily $300,000 worth of mods on it. It's
whoa.
Yeah, there's chrome underneath that you could eat lunch off of if the car was upside down. It's pretty amazing. The car has been owned by three different fellas, and each owner puts his own little, you know, stamp of uniqueness on it. That car is a lot of fun. But there was I think it was a 57 Chevy that was decked out as a strip car, and he fired that car up, and I tell you, it shook my sternum. It made my heart do palpitate. It was just shockwaves and sound waves from that thing were just amazing. That car was roasting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun. And then as far as Saturday, Sunday goes, I haven't got my plans finalized yet. I know I have some work to do on my GTO, so I might steal one of those days. I might steal Sunday away, but Saturday's still unassigned. Like I say, if you guys have any car shows out there that are going down either this weekend or in the coming months, love to hear about them. Email me at event@norcalcruisecast.com, and we'd love to put you on the calendar.
They'll know you've arrived when you drive up in the 1958 Edsel, the car that's truly new from nameplate to taillights. From the front, new from the side, new from the rear. Only Edsel has the sleek, clean line design that sets it apart from the look-alike cars. And it combines new looks with the newest V8 engines in the world, the big new Edsel 400 and the power-packed Edsel 475. It is unlikely you have ever driven a car with so much real, usable power as the Edsel. And with Edsel's exclusive Teletouch Drive, you drive more safely, more easily than you ever have before. Because both hands can stay at the wheel while the Edsel shifts electrically. There's even the added luxury of new Edsel air suspension that's just like riding on air, because you are. And remember, of all the medium-priced cars, car for car, across the board,
one that's new and the lowest price, too. So see your Edsel dealer.
So, anything else going on, Pete?
No, next, this coming weekend, I'm going to be moving. Yahoo, we bought a new house, and so the best part will be I'll be filling the three-car garage with old VWs and Studebakers, but other than that, it's going to be pretty dismal, I think.
Well, you know, moving is never fun, and, you know, one of the things I often say about moving is that you get to find out who your friends are, because...
like the bumper sticker says, yes, this is my truck. No, I won't help you move.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I know that, you know, again, here at the museum, there's a number of events going on, but the biggest thing is that by the time we're here next week, we're going to see a bunch of muscle cars here, Camaros. We're going to see some Mustangs. Hopefully, there'll be some just, you know, really nice examples of those cars. At the Lincoln show, there were a half dozen Mustangs. All of them were really nifty, and there was one that was a blown out race car that was, you know, had the full, you know, cage inside. Had the parachute in the back and the wheelie bars, but it, you know, they're I'm really looking forward to see what's coming in the pike for those Mustangs and those Camaros here at the museum.
Yeah, that should be a great show coming up, and I think we're going to get a lot of interest in that down here too, because the age group that is interested in those cars is quite wide, and so should be really good participation in that. So get on down to the California Auto Museum when you get a chance and check out those Camaros and Mustangs and the neat stuff waiting for you down here.
That's right. It's a great value. You know, here at 2200 Front Street, it's a couple blocks from Channel 10's office there. Hey, listen to that. They're going to try and fire.
It's cranking, but is it going to fire?
That Lincoln's going to show. I know they got the charger hooked up to it.
42 V12.
Is that a V12?
It is a V12.
Oh, my goodness. We got to check that out before we leave. So like I say, Front Street here, a couple blocks away from Broadway. Lay down $8 on the table. It will be money well spent. The museum, you know, they put on a lot of different events. They have a lot of different things going on here. But one of the things that's a consistent every single time we show up here on Mondays is a collection of docents. There's, you know, today I counted six fellas wearing the vest who are here to kind of give you a personalized tour. They'll take as much time as you need to walk you through from the very beginnings of automotive history through, again, the exotics here.
Well, yeah, it goes from brass era to plastic era.
That's right. That's right. And every car in between. There's a beautiful Lincoln... What is it? It's a limousine that A.P. Giannini, the guy who owned the Bank of America's car, fitted with a police siren and a red light so that he could do higher than the posted 45 miles an hour to keep banks open and to keep the economy moving in the Depression. There's a bunch of beautiful 30s cars, Chrysler Airstream. You got some Lincolns. You've got the Cadillacs. You've got, you know, the Pontiacs. You've got just every single classic Americana automobile, you know, from the 30s, and you got the 40s, the 50s. I mean, it's just, again, you'll never be disappointed when you come through the doors.
A wide array of automotive history.
And then, yeah, so one event that I do want to mention that the museum has going, the 7th Annual CAM Car Cruise and Show, August 1st from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. They start off at that Sac State. They go to Fulton Avenue. It's a traditional, true cruise where they shut down they shut down the route from Sac State through Fulton Avenue, and then you can do a loop there on Fulton. Yeah, that car show is a lot of fun. You get to get out, and, you know, as long as you don't stop, your car won't overheat, you'll be fine and have a good time. So
no uncorked headers or burnouts, but other than that, I think it's fair game.
That's right. That's right. So, Pete, we're going to go sniff around and watch some of these 1950s cars head out of here. It's been a great day. We're gonna leave you with a little bit of music from the Vintage Vandals. They're nice enough to sponsor this podcast, donating some of their music royalty-free, and they're a great listen. So we're going to head on out with a little Vintage Vandals. Y'all have a great week. Have a great weekend at the car shows. If you got any car shows that you'd like to share with us, or any other information for that matter, event event at NorCalCruiseCast.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you know any shops out there who would like to get some free advertising or interesting places, you know, where they paint, where they put together cars, do work on mufflers, do stripping, I mean, anything that's car related, we'd love to hear from you. Get those folks interviewed and get some folks on the air just so that we can help keep this car hobby alive in Northern California.
We would like to keep you in tune with all the knowledge out there that we possibly can, and that's our purpose, is to just share the hobby together. So like Sam says, if you have any input, we would very, very much like to hear it.
Great. So Pete, have a great weekend. We'll be back here recording again on Monday. If you happen to be in the area Monday at 2 o'clock at the California Auto Museum, 2200 Front Street, come on down, put your $8 down, and we'd love to have you throw something. Well, maybe not love to have you throw something at us, but if you want to get on the air, you know, there's room here. We got an extra mic. You've got something interesting to say to the crowd. We'd love to have you on air. So until then, Pete, next week we'll, you know, keep the oil off the road, keep the road, you know, keep your car straight, and have a good weekend.
All right. Take care and have a great week.
If you in trouble, you'd always go too far. I take her out on a Friday night. Heads would turn, what a beautiful sight. She stole my heart, what can I say? She was the one, but she's the one that got away.